Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
What is going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod. I'm your host, as always, Victor Williams from Eagles Wire of USA Today. Be sure to give me a follow on all social media platforms over at the Philly Pod. It wasn't without drama, as always seems to be the norm for the Philadelphia Eagles to this point, but they held on to defeat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-25. They improved to 4-0 on the season. We will break down everything that happened in this game, as well as some news that we got from the team today. If you're new to the show, thank you guys for checking it out. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. Leave those reviews and rate 5 stars. They all do help with the exposure of the podcast, bring the show to new eyes and ears of Eagles fans. For whatever reason, Kevin Petullo and the offensive coaching staff cannot seem to put together a full 4 quarters of NFL football. You get the second half, you get the second half of the Rams game. You get the first half of this game where the offense looks great. They look unstoppable. You're dicing them up through the air. The running game is still a concern. We'll talk about that in a bit. But you look at it and you're like, all right, the offense is back. It seems to open up some things. And then the second half comes around and you're like, oh man, maybe not. Maybe they got conservative with a lead. They were just trying to win the game. Don't know what have you, but you can't win. You can't expect to win every single time when you play that way. But it certainly is a staple of the Philadelphia Eagles to this point. Just find a way to win. And the Eagles did that. 4-0. The Eagles now improved to 4-0 for the third time in the Nick Sirianni era. The last remaining undefeated team in the NFC, the Bills, are the only other team who have yet to lose a game in the 2025 season. Stellar first half from Jalen Hurts, 15 of 16, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, 140.1 passer rating. And you looked at the throws he was making, he was using his guys, Devontae, was using Dallas Goedert. A lot of guys were getting involved in the passing game, and you thought, man, the offense is really opening up now. They figured it out. The second half of that Rams game was the breakthrough. They're going to be unstoppable now. Not quite, because you don't complete a single pass in the second half. 0 for 8 in the second half. If that first half's stat line sounded familiar, that's because that's basically what the stat line was when it ended. Didn't complete a single pass in the second half. The Eagles are the first team since 2023 Raiders to win an NFL game without completing a pass in the second half. It was frustrating to watch, but you kind of understand why, because the Eagles are just trying to kill clock, win the game. But I think the best way to ensure the win is to score points. I don't know why we're not trying to score anymore. And there were some frustrating developments. We'll talk about AJ Brown and the theatrics that is probably going to surround him for the week, because he went and posted on Twitter and did that whole thing. So that is surely going to be a headline, because this city thrives off that kind of stuff. But like, the route concepts for AJ are you know, mediocre at best. They're probably, honestly, they're remedial at best, if you want to put it plainly. You know, there's a lot of comeback routes. It's basically either slant, comeback, or go route for AJ Brown in this offense. And he is much more capable of that. He's a top 5 pass catcher in the league, and he could certainly run routes and get open. And he had 9 targets in this game, just 2 catches. So that was frustrating to watch as well. But from the beginning, the Eagles were able to build a lead. The Eagles defense forced a Tampa Bay punt on the opening possession. Cameron Latu was able to block it. Sidney Brown returned it for a touchdown. And you're like, oh man, this might be the best special teams unit we've ever seen. They have them 2 block kicks last week. You've returned a block punt. My goodness, this is like special teams galore for the Philadelphia Eagles. Michael Clay deserves a raise. And then the Eagles were able to score again, 14-0, and you think, all right, they're gonna run away with this game. 24-3 at halftime, and then all of that changed after the half, because the Eagles defense got leaky, let a few big plays happen. But the defense did hold up for the most part. They did well to make sure that Tampa Bay couldn't capitalize on every opportunity. Turnovers were the name of the game. The Eagles pretty much predicate themselves on winning the turnover battle, and they did so in this game. Jalex Hunt forced a Bucky Irving fumble that was recovered by Keely Ringo. That led to an Eagles touchdown in the second half, the only touchdown in the second half. And then the Eagles also got an interception from Jahad Campbell when the Bucks were in the red zone. A very good interception from Jahad Campbell to stall that drive and make sure the Bucks couldn't put more points on the board. If you win the turnover battle, more often than not, you're going to win the game. And the Eagles hammer that point home every single week. That's one of the reasons they keep winning. You win the turnover battle, you're going to walk out of there with a W. But as we mentioned, defense gave up some things. They gave up two touchdowns of over 70 yards, pretty much due to busted coverage of Makuba on the Egbuka touchdown, as well as Jahad Campbell on the long Bucky Irving touchdown. So that kept them in the game. Big plays like that will swing the momentum in a hurry, and the Tampa Bay was able to capitalize on those opportunities. But, you know, the Eagles defense did their part in this game. They made sure, you know, Quinn Yam was all over the field. We'll talk about his matchups. Cooper DeJean, always in the mix, got that taunting penalty by stepping over Bucky. The NFL is really making sure that taunting is not a part of the game anymore. Lame from my perspective, but the players have to kind of be reeled in on that. Quinn Yan was in the face of Baker and Tristan Wirfs, somebody like twice his size. Quinn Yan doesn't back down from anybody. That man surely wasn't scared. So Quinn Yan was in the mix. They kind of have to reel in that emotion. But the Eagles use that emotion to their benefit and make big plays. Moro Ojimo, at the end of the game with a big sack on Baker Mayfield, he was able to get through as well. Jalen Carter dealing with an injury throughout this game. Shoulder was on the sideline for a little bit, came in later, but was clearly hampered by that shoulder. So I am interested to see what the injury report is going to look like. Is going to look like for him in the coming weeks. But the offensive struggles, that's the name of the game. You thought that we were finally getting away from those conversations, and that the Eagles are going to build on this offense. Kevin Petula has it figured out, and they did do some good things in this game. They ran the tush-push variations. The tush-push remains a hot topic of conversation, but Tampa Bay, one of the few teams to be successful against it, they're pretty good at stopping it. So the Eagles, instead of running it, they get into the formation, and they ran some variants. They ran some pop passes to Dallas Goedert, and then they had the fake tush-push handoff to Saquon Barkley. We haven't seen that since, I think they ran it with Swift in 2023. With DeAndre Swift in 2023. So it was fun to see that again, fun to see those variations. I'm curious if they do move to ban it next season. So can you like line up in the formation? Are you banned from the formation, or are you just banned from running the play? But then again, if it is banned, what's the point of, you know, lining up in that formation anyway? Because they know you can't run it. So I guess that would be counterproductive anyway. But fun to see those kind of different things. They got creative in that facet to get points on the board. Dallas Goedert, two touchdowns in this one. Did come off the field, looked a little shaken up, was dealing with an injury. Grant Calcaterra had some good plays in this game as well. So fun stuff in that regard. We brought up A.J. Brown. It's gonna be a long week as far as drama goes in this game. Two catches, 7 yards, 9 targets. Took to Twitter after the game. Posted a cryptic quote. I believe it's out of the Bible, and I will read it to you guys because surprisingly, it is still up. Usually, AJ Brown is good for tweeting stuff and then taking it down, and it's still up. Adam Schefter retweeted it, and now you know it's going to be all over the place. AJ Brown tweeted after the game a quote: "If you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders and be on your way." I find it ironic that the quote says "Don't make a scene," but by posting that is essentially making a scene. So I don't know what AJ Brown is really going for in this situation. But the frustration is warranted. I mean, he's probably watching like you. It's difficult as fans and as guys who like, you know, kind of watch the game from an analytical standpoint and see how the Rams and Sean McVay scheme open Puka Nacua on a consistent basis. And he had 170 yards yesterday. Like in Puka Nacua, from a skill perspective, I think AJ Brown is better than Puka Nacua. And teams can scheme their guys open, and just the Eagles are having a hard time doing that for AJ Brown. So I understand it's frustrating, but from another perspective, AJ Brown knows how the city is. He's been here for a little bit now. He has a good pulse on these things, and he knows what he is doing. He knows the city feeds off this. But maybe it was intentional. I don't know if he feels like all right, what I'm saying in the building is falling on deaf ears, so I'm just going to post it and now I'm going to make a scene about it so that I'm heard this way. Like, I don't think AJ Brown is that type of person. He's not like a prototypical diva wide receiver. Like, he's difficult to read sometimes, and sometimes he posts things that he doesn't really mean. You know, he's not the type to really cause a lot of drama. Like, in the past, he's calling WIP up himself and been like, y'all need to stop this. Like, just because I said this comment doesn't mean like I feel this way. So he's really particular about the things he says to reporters now. But by posting this, I mean, AJ Brown's a smart guy. Like, he knows what he's doing. And the fact that it's still up is interesting. Trades aren't coming. You can't financially trade him. But that's not going to stop all the rumors flying around this week. So I'm interested to see what AJ Brown is going to have to say this week, if he takes interviews at all. Jeff McLean said on Twitter yesterday that AJ declined his interview request. So we'll see. We'll see what goes. But we know. We saw what happened last year when Brandon Graham on WIP, like, he made a comment saying AJ and Jalen aren't close anymore, and then that blew up and was everywhere. And AJ knows. He knows. The frustration is warranted. Like I said, I understand from your perspective, and I've said this on the pod in the past as well, that these guys have, you know, incentives they want to reach, and they have certain things they want to hit within their contract, and they want to get paid. And on top of that, you want to be known as one of the best players in the game. AJ Brown he said, even after the Super Bowl, you know, obviously it's exciting to win the championship, but the best feeling you have in the game is when you look at other cornerbacks and they're shaking their head because they can't stop you. And AJ Brown just isn't being a featured part of the offense right now. And the Eagles paid him to be. I mean, they paid AJ Brown, what, 30? He's making $30 million a year right now. And you are or close to it. I forget the exact figures, but he's making top wide receiver money. And to pay them that kind of money and not use him is frustrating. And I understand that. And I don't think it's at the fault of Jalen. Jalen obviously tried to get him the ball. He was targeted 9 times. But, you know, I think it's just the routes. The routes aren't creative. Like, you're not, it's, and he struggled to gain separation. So this is something that's surely going to have to be figured out for the offense to try and calm AJ down before he, like, goes off the rails. I don't think he has a personality to just, like, blow up the locker room, but you don't want to even consider that. You don't want it to get to that point. Devontae Smith is fairly quiet. He's not going to say a whole lot. It's just interesting because Saquon Barkley, who I think Saquon should be a pretty big topic to this point. Not him in general, but I think the running game is more worrisome than the passing game at this point. Like, A.J. Brown, or I'm sorry, Saquon Barkley, 43 rushing yards on 19 carries, only 237 yards through 4 games. I think the running game is a bigger concern, honestly, at this point. But Saquon, after the game, they asked him about, how do you feel about kind of the struggle with the run game right now? It's been ineffective to this point. You guys are obviously winning. How has that been for you? And Saquon said that we're winning football games. I really don't care how it looks like. So people are taking that quote, comparing it to what AJ's doing and saying, hey, this is how you're supposed to, you know, this is how you're supposed to act on a part of a team. Like, don't be selfish, this and that. So, you know, fans are going to see it, and it's going to be a story. I'm interested to see what AJ has to say this week about all of this, because it's not great for optics. And we know AJ enough to this point to know that he's not intentionally, like, he doesn't want to burn down the organization. He doesn't put himself first. But at some point, mentally, he's probably like, all right, man, like, I want a championship. I'm putting the team first. I'm doing everything I'm asked. But, like, I want to start contributing at some point, and I want to start putting up numbers. And that Rams game is looking like an anomaly, and that is the tough part. He has 3 games so far this year of under 30 yards. He hasn't had more than 4. The only time he's had more than this was 4 games. He had 4 games of under 30 yards as a rookie, and that never happened again. So this is a tough pill for AJ Brown to swallow. Knowing how good he is, like, I get it. If you know how good you are and you're in a position where you can't showcase it, it's you know, it's tough. It's tough. I get that. But it's in Philadelphia. You can't really act on it. So that is just, we'll see. We'll see what the week looks like. But at the end of the day, look, they're 4-0. The Eagles survived the hardest part of the schedule. Jalen Hurts hasn't lost a game in a full calendar year. 365 days since Jalen Hurts has lost a game. And when we all looked at their schedule, we thought these first 4 games were going to be the toughest part. You look at Dallas, you look at Green Bay, Kansas City, and now Tampa Bay. All 4 of these teams are probably making the playoffs, and you came out 4-0. So the concerns, I understand the concerns. They definitely have some things to work out, but you came out 4-0, And now your next four games are what? The Broncos next week. You go to the Giants week six, who are playing Jackson Dart with no Malik Nabers. Week seven at the Vikings, Minnesota. You don't know if it's going to be Wentz or J.J. McCarthy. That storyline's going to be funny if Carson's playing. And then you play the Giants again. And then you have the week nine bye week. So it's a plausible reality that the Eagles could be 8-0 entering the bye week. I'm not saying it's guaranteed. I'm not saying, like, take these opponents lightly. But it's a very real possibility that the Eagles could be 8-0. If they won these four games, they're certainly capable of beating the Broncos, the Giants twice, and the Minnesota Vikings, and going into that bye week undefeated. I think that that is a certain thing. And I also see a lot of people comparing this team to the 2023 team, saying, oh, you know, it's good to win games now, but it's all going to blow up in December and January and all this. I don't think that is a realistic approach to look at this team, because number one, the defensive situation is different. You have Vic Fangio in place, who's not going to let the team crumble. Back then, you had an experienced first-time coordinator in Sean Desai, and then you replaced him with Matt Patricia at some point, and then that was a train wreck. You didn't really have the young personnel to deal with these things. You brought in like Kevin Byard, who didn't know the defense, and it was just a bad mix of players that weren't ready and players that were too old to be a factor, and that just didn't mix well in 2023. I think that, at least from a defensive standpoint, that collapse cannot happen this time around, because you have guys like Quinyon, you have guys like Cooper DeJean, and you have Vic Fangio in place, who's going to make sure that, like, we are not collapsing. We are going to make sure we are sound defensively. Zach Bond, Jahan Campbell, you have guys that are going to do what needs to be done to keep the right mentality. And I think that that is certainly important. Shout out to Quinyon Mitchell, who continues. Like, I think he's a top five. I think he's certified top five cornerback now after yesterday's performance. He had 22 coverage matchups on Emeka Egbuka yesterday. And Egbuka does score. It wasn't Quinyon's fault yesterday. But Quinyon, man, 22 coverage matchups. He was targeted six times while covering Egbuka. Only gave up two catches, 6 yards. He had a pass breakup on Egbuka as well. Now, I'm fuzzy on the pass breakup stats because I'm seeing a lot of stats going around that said he had 5 breakups yesterday, but PFF only has him logged for 1. But the Eagles, like, official page said he had 5. So I don't know what the actual stat is, but the fact that he even limited Egbuka in any facet is impressive. Egbuka's really one of the great young rising wide receivers in this game. And then Chris Godwin couldn't do anything against Quinyon at all. Godwin targeted 3 times, 0 catches, 0 yards allowed. Just a 39.1 passer rating Quinyon Mitchell allowed when targeted. This man is just locking things down left and right. And now that he's traveling with guys, it is enhancing his play even further. Like I said, he was with 44 coverage snaps he played yesterday. And then and not all of those, obviously some of those are kind of like zone, like in between matchups and whatnot. But the fact that he could, it's just, you run out of words for what Quinyon is doing with these receivers, following guys like this and limiting the outcome. And yes, there were some holds. Like, I know Bucks fans are grabbing screenshots of him holding jerseys and stuff like that. He does get a little handsy, but you can't deny the fact that Quinyon Mitchell is just a certified lockdown corner. Like, I can't believe the Eagles have a cover corner like this guy. It is unbelievable to see. And he fell to 21 just because, like, or 22. I forget where the Eagles even got him at, but he fell that far just because for the simple fact that he went to Toledo. Like, it is amazing to watch. Kelee Ringo had a pretty good showing at his first start. He was targeted 3 times in coverage, only gave up 1 catch for 8 yards and had a pass breakup as well. Now, where Kelee struggled yesterday was the tackling department. And I don't mean like struggle, like he was getting stiff-armed all over the place and he couldn't bring guys down. Guys were throwing him off him. And obviously that is something that can be coached. I think when you come in cold, when you come in as like a first team starter, you're kind of a little rusty on the tackling side of things. So I think that's something that can be worked on. But from a coverage perspective, I like what Kelee Ringo showed us. I think that there is some potential there. I'm interested to see how that's going to go. If Adoree's healthy this week, when Jacorian Bennett comes off IR in a few weeks, I do want to see how all of that shakes out. But as of now, I think Kelee gives you the splash coverage plays that you kind of need on the opposite side of the field that Quinyon Mitchell is on. So good stuff from Kelee Ringo as well. And Quinyon wasn't taking no shit in this game. I mean, he was, like I said, he was in Baker's face. He was like, I'm not scared of nobody. I don't care what you guys say. I don't care about none of this. Mike Evans didn't play in this game. Because remember last year, Mike Evans was like, bro, I don't even know you. Like, I'm pretty sure he knows who Quinyon Mitchell is now. But fantastic stuff. Even Cooper DeJean, great tackling performance. The good thing about Cooper, and I was telling a friend this yesterday as we were watching the game, Cooper is good at his role, the slot cornerback role, because he is a willing tackler. The key to being an effective slot corner in the NFL is to be a willing tackler. And not only be a willing tackler, but also not to shy away from guys that are coming on like full steam ahead, like, you know, Derrick Henry tackle last year and all of that stuff. And he shines as a good nickel guy because of he's always just tracking guys down and getting low, and you get flags for stepping over guys nowadays. That's a little crazy. He did have a pick that got called back too, Cooper DeJean. So, you know, ball don't lie in those scenarios. But I mean, it was an encouraging offensive performance in the first half, and then the game kind of got away from them. You had the deep touchdowns with Bucky and with Emeka, but the defense held strong. They held strong and made sure they didn't score. Quinyon had a nice breakup in the end zone, make sure he didn't get in there. So good stuff. They play the Denver Broncos next week, Bo Nix and company. We'll see how things shake out. We'll keep an eye on the A.J. Brown developments. He's probably just going to say, you know, I was frustrated after the game. I just want to help the team. He's probably going to say something along those lines. But the fact that tweet is not deleted yet, just curious. Very, very curious. But most important thing, Eagles are 4-0 heading into next week. One of two remaining undefeated teams in the NFL. Thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Philly Pod. I am Victor Williams. Follow me on all social media platforms at the Philly Pod. Follow all of my written work on Eagles Wire at USA Today. Follow the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, iHeartRadio, anywhere else you get your shows. We will be back this week to talk about some news. Actually, I did not get a chance to talk about Ogbo. Ogbo Okorakwo got hurt. He's out for the year with triceps injuries. So that's two blows now to the edge. Not that Ogbo was really playing a whole lot anyway. But Nolan Smith now out. It looks like Azeez Ojulari might finally, be activated. We'll see how all of that goes. Well, we'll keep an eye on the news throughout the week. We'll talk about what's going on as well as preview the Broncos game. I know I didn't do a preview last week. Work schedule got chalky last week, but we'll preview the game this week. Appreciate you guys for sticking around for the pod as always. I'll catch you guys on the next one. Enjoy your week. Peace out from the Philly Pod.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.